In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Si White.
Hello.
And joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hey, T.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty good.
It's going pretty good. It's pretty, what's pretty good is the amount of news things doing the rounds in gaming. Thought we'd do a big old news podcast because there's all sorts of leaks, rumors, conversation, talking points doing the rounds. First one from written up by VGC. You've got Cal Kestis slash Cameron Monaghan himself confirming the next Star Wars Jedi game. He was speaking over at the Ocala Comic Con and saying that we are in the process of making a third game right now. He said it's a big undertaking and there have been some conversations so far, but hopefully when all things are said and done, we'll be able to go in and make something really cool.
Unsurprising.
Something really cool, Monaghan.
We're going to make free. Good game. Game good.
See, I thought we already knew this was coming. I mean, I know that it wasn't always planned out as a trilogy. I guess this is the most he's said it directly since then.
It's weird the way they've laid these. I remember when Fallen Order came out, there was a report from Jason Schreier back when he was still at Kotaku. I think it was either just before or after it came out. He was like, because Jedi Fallen Order is getting good projections or it surpassed those projections after it came out, that a sequel had been greenlit. I think it was a while until that was officially confirmed as being in development. But yeah, I mean, it felt like a given. I mean, Jedi Survivor, didn't that sell like a buttload of Bantha Poodoo?
Yes, I think it's one of those things where I'm curious what the overall sales are for this, because it did sell really, really well, but obviously the game was like notoriously needed a whole bunch of patches. Seven official patches later, it's finally what it should have always been as one of the best games of the year. But I don't know if that affected any of the general reception stuff, if they end up taking a bit longer for part three or whatever. But yeah, Si, thoughts on the old Jedis?
Yeah, not to bury the pod straight away, but this is like the non-news news, isn't it? It's like, good game, get sequel again. Yeah.
We didn't know it was definitely coming.
No, of course. It's obviously nice to have that. Yeah. Like, I don't think it is a surprise, as Ewan said, really. Like, first game was a big success. Second game also done pretty well. Mm-hmm. I haven't played either of them, so I don't know where the story's. I'm not a big Star Wars person.
I don't care about Star Wars anymore, but I do care about these little Jedi games and Andor.
To be fair, I look at them, that's quite nice. I feel like I could enjoy that, but the problem is then I start getting back. If I do that, I could get back into Star Wars, and that's a dangerous thing.
God knows I don't want that.
I don't want to get
have
near
your own little corner of the galaxy.
Star Wars Island.
There's a guy in this one called Scuba Stev, and he's a wee Scottish crustacean alien who you help fish.
I watched the opening cutscene for a video edit and was like, this looks really good.
It is actually really solid.
So maybe
I'll
get around to them, you know, pick them up nice and cheap and stuff. So, but I imagine the story's probably still got legs.
Totally,
from the sound of it, yeah. So, yeah. Cool, good. I'm glad for the actor as well, because he's great, really, and good. So it's good to see him continue to get work and continue to mold this character and get to do
There's
cool
like
stuff with it.
Still mention of and I think you might know more about this than me, Ewan, but like, aren't they planning a crossover show?
No, that's not been a fit. That's been the rumor for a while, but I think it would be easy to integrate Cal Kestis. The other thing I wanted to mention here is that Stig Asmussen has left Respawn. That happened a few weeks ago as well, which is interesting because obviously he was such a key pivotal figure on the first two Jedi games, and it's going to be curious to see how you know, Respawn do that moving forward. They've got two other Star Wars games in development as well. There's the FPS new franchise coming, and then there's also that real-time strategy game, I think they announced.
Yeah, they've hardly detailed that at all.
There are some of the game that they've announced. It's probably not an idea.
They're definitely doing the first-person one because it's like in the vein of like Dark Forces and whatever.
I can't remember the name, but there's the female-led one. What was that one called?
That's Outlaws. That's the Ubisoft one.
Right.
Yeah, okay. That'll be them doing the Ubisoft template with Star Wars skin.
No, I'm not expecting anything of it. I'm just saying more Star Wars things.
Just Leatherface skin it over the end of whatever the hell they've got going and try it out again. But in regards to this stuff, I would say from my point of view, like other than outside of the TV realm with Andor and stuff, I think that the Jedi games have the most goodwill surrounding them. Like a lot of people, you know, like love Cameron Monaghan and love, like Jedi Survivor was such a great step up when it worked that I absolutely loved it when it worked. And so it's one of those things, I just can't forgive that game, but it was because it was so phenomenal that it was so annoying that it didn't work until now. I am planning on going back through it though, because I really want to do all the bounties and the extra stuff.
I have some interesting theories for this next game as well. Mm-hmm. I kind of, like, not to give any spoilers away to you side, but they've kind of been seeding or hinting at Cal's darker side over the course of these last two games.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
And the way that Jedi Survivor ends very much leaves the door open to, we're going to go even darker for the third game. I'm really curious to see how they do that, because obviously the further you go into the original trilogy, the Galactic Civil War element, the more you encroach on that original Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. I thought Jedi Survivor made the right move to keep it all grounded within its own space, you know, dive into bits of the High Republic and stuff. Mm-hmm. Other thing I'm hoping for, let's get some playable Meryn in this time. Meryn's a great character.
Which one? Who's Meryn?
A Night Sister lady.
Oh, yeah. I like the idea of, like, because like you said, they kind of have had that seeded since the very beginning that you could do more with the Night Sisters and that general order. I'll take an evil Sith, man. There's not any evil Sith. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Give me evil Sith.
Yeah.
I want to be evil.
Yeah,
do it.
Starkiller Force. Do it now. Do you like Starkiller?
At the time, I remember being so psyched for Force Unleashed. And there's that bit where he pulls the Star Destroyer out the sky.
Yep.
And then in the game, it was a bad quick time event.
It was a really, really frustrating mission. It was like the most hyped up thing. Like, you can pull down a Star Destroyer. And then I was like, oh my God. It's like, wiggle the thumbsticks left to right. And I'm like,
I'm kind of amazed they haven't made like a Starkiller unlockable or DLC costume.
Because they renamed the planet.
Like, Survivor or whatever.
They just wiped him out. Like, Starkiller is now the name of the base from the new canon. So they were just like, oh, unless they do a weird retcon and pretend
again, another nerd
named after him.
Dave Filoni did consider bringing back Starkiller for Star Wars Rebels as an Inquisitor. And Sam Witwer, the guy who played Starkiller in the games, and there's also the voice of Darth Maul in the Clone Wars and Rebels TV shows and stuff. He's basically said that if they were going to do it right, they'd have to put a unique twist on it more than just he is Inquisitor guy.
Right.
But I think a game would be the perfect place to do that. Bring him in, have him be that dark reflection of Cal. Although obviously past few games, we've literally had like several characters that have been, this is what Cal would be like if he went bad. And
he goes underground, he goes into a cave, he sees a mirror of himself.
Yeah,
it's the way things go.
Do it again. Yeah.
Do it again. Yeah. One final bit of that is just the general question on like where Star Wars is at, because it's like they've steered into so many things all at once. The Ahsoka's currently rolling out as we're recording this, and that's kind of getting mixed responses.
Good
but
show.
some people liking it. I was bored to tears and I gave up. But a lot of people are liking it. Sai, as someone who's a bit more mixed on Star Wars overall, what would get you back in, if anything?
Nope. That's it. Now
I'm done.
Yeah. Rise of the Skywalker was too much for me.
Yep.
After the promise that Last Jedi had, I'm one of those people.
That's good. You should stick to your guns.
I hated that film, and I don't have much time for too many TV shows. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna invest
Andor,
back
into though. Andor's really good.
Yeah, but then when I watch Andor, what do I have to watch after that?
Nothing. Season 2 of Andor's coming, so just wait for that.
Andor
is really good. Next news item down is Xbox Era's Nick Baker saying in regards to the ongoing, I guess it was ongoing, but it happened last week, Bethesda leak, all the different games that Bethesda have in development, all the things that they've got coming up in the future. One thing that was mentioned as part of that leak was a licensed IP game. We didn't know what that was. According to Xbox Era's Nick Baker, it's a Disney game, a licensed IP game under the Disney banner. So I've included this. It's just what the hell could Bethesda and Disney be working on?
Star Wars.
More Star Wars?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I thought Star Wars made sense last week. It probably still
makes
sense.
Yeah, you could do like
imagine how boring and late the party a Bethesda Marvel game would be.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine that? And we're going to go to the Quantumania, everyone.
You need something that has the scope. If you go down Bethesda's strength, it's a big open world RPG. You could do a Star Wars version of that, kind of like that Outlaws thing. But find some townships. It would just be Starfield at some point.
Yeah. I mean, Disney is a very broad umbrella at this point.
Like, what, do, as you what say, don't
we,
they own?
We were like, well, we were sort of theorizing that it could be LucasArts originally, hence Star Wars. But Disney, yeah, it could be something from 20th Century Fox. It's still technically Disney.
True, true. The Simpsons open world.
Yeah, give me that.
First person.
Right? Talk to the right people.
Antagonize Mo or something.
Just do Virtual Springfield, but let Bethesda develop it.
Oh my God, you didn't pay for your beer and Mo. You get to bring Mo as a companion or something. Sorry.
You can design a character and be a custom Simpson. You talk about stuff being late to the party, though. Is The Simpsons anyone? Yeah, anyone there for
I
that?
Think there's nostalgia still to play.
There is.
That show can subsist entirely on its first 12 seasons.
Yeah, it has been so far. Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, maybe they do a weird, like, I don't know, like, it's so weird thinking of Bethesda being in a licensed space. Or
that's the thing,
before,
yeah.
And, like, how would they shift their aesthetic to accommodate something like a Star Wars? We don't even know what their Indiana Jones game is going to look yet, so... It's an interesting one because I can't imagine them doing like, let's do a Disney Pixar RPG or whatever. It feels like it's going to be a mature kind of thing that has inspired their games already.
It's kind of where my brain went as well. It's like, if they're going to go into license, let's just go nuts with it and do basically like a Kingdom Hearts. Either an entry in Kingdom Hearts or, like a Pixar equivalent or a bunch of other Disney stuff that can be strung together.
I'm blanking on the name of it, but there is that ongoing game that's a bit like Animal Crossing with all the Disney characters in it.
Oh, Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yes, they could do something quite as wide as that. It just
I did a lot of articles on Disney Dreamlight Valley.
It's the most like under the radar kind of release for it. Well, all of a sudden it was just everywhere. Like we didn't see much of the in the run up to it. It's interesting though in terms of them developing it, because that game, the Indiana Jones game, is developed by Machine Games. It's overseen by Todd Howard, but this in theory would be something developed by Bethesda, which throws it even more out of whack because their quality control, their level of polish is so not there. And even something like Starfield was meant to release years ago and came out in the version that it is now.
Disney money.
Yeah, you got Disney money. Maybe that leads to more time and
What is your absolute wildest like Disney game prediction that you would want Bethesda to make? I'm just gonna put it out there, Gargoyles.
I was gonna say you want something that's like overlooked, like Titan AE or like one of those old like animations.
Darkwing Duck.
From like the '90s or something. Yeah, something like that. Like I would take the Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half.
That's Warner Brothers, mate.
Is he not good? Disney not got him yet?
No.
Okay. Give it a couple of weeks.
As a fellow Warner Brothers man who believes in the superiority of the Brothers Warner over Disney, I would absolutely need more Looney Tunes games.
A fellow Warner Brother.
Yeah.
It's I'm trying to think of like older random animated stuff from the 2000s to the late 90s. My mind went to Titan AE, but that's the best I could do.
I kind of want a post-apocalyptic Disney World Simulator game.
Where they're all just dead.
That is like the last surviving outpost of humanity.
Hand over the rations!
It's what's left of Disney World is the last outpost, and that's where you
that
live.
Would be a great character study.
And they base all their knowledge of the old world on what's left of Disney.
Mickey, you shouldn't have done that.
But like the idea,
Donald
like,
will remember that.
How would they all survive based on the way that they're built? Like, who's the first one to go feral? I think, like, just Donald Duck losing his mind.
Donald Duck has a darkness.
He would eat Mickey, like, before Mickey eats him.
Oh, yeah, he'd eat him on day one.
Yeah. He's got to feed his family. He's got the three kids and everything. Yeah.
There's a lot of, we've been talking about this earlier, there's a lot of ducks in Disney. There's a lot of ducks to feed.
Too many ducks, if anything. I would say.
It's like when DC had too many Supermen. They need to have a Crisis on Infinite Earths or something.
Crisis on Infinite Ducks.
It's got to be done. Next item down is Red Dead Redemption 2 being rated in Brazil for the Switch, which is an interesting follow-up to Red Dead Redemption 1's, I was going to say remaster, it's not really port to the Switch. And now the assumption being that Rockstar are going to follow up with Red Dead Redemption 2. Maybe? I mean, miracle ports have happened before. The Witcher runs on Switch fairly well. Providing you hold it in handheld and hold it, like, don't look too close because then it's all derailed.
Don't play directly.
If you get the distance just right, it's all right. But I'm not expecting this to work very well on Switch at all.
We still don't have a current gen patch for that game.
No, still 30.
Rockstar, man. God,
put the GTA Online down just for one day and do something else. But yeah, I guess Rockstar thoughts or general thoughts on Red Dead 2 being the next thing that they're putting
this
money
is
into.
Madness to me because I played the madness. Cloud, the cloud version. I played the demo, I should say, of the cloud version of Resident Evil Village, and it just did not run whatsoever. So like, there's no way they're fitting Red Dead Redemption 2. It can't. It has to be a cloud version because of just the scope of it, and ergo, it just won't work. I wonder if this is some sort of weird confusion, and this is going to be for the future console, the Switch 2.
Oh, that's a really good point. Thing.
Like maybe they jumped the gun a little bit with this
leak,
and it's actually for
whatever that next, whatever they're going to call the new one.
It just doesn't seem possible.
That's a really good point, because in theory we're imminent with that thing, where the recent Gamescom apparently was shown off behind closed doors, and it seems like maybe they're going to have a reveal before the end of the year. But we'll see. Yeah, so that's a really good point. It could just end up running natively on there. Or I completely forgot about how many cloud games they have, like RE7 and Hitman.
Yeah, but I still don't think,
whatever.
I don't think it would work. Yeah. It just feels too big. You'd be waiting 10 minutes to skin a deer, sort of.
The loading times in that game are already vicious.
Right.
Yeah. And plus, like, the size of the cartridge and everything, you couldn't make it downloadable. It would max all the switches, the hard drive space out. Yeah, there's going to be something
hence
in there
impossible.
That would make it make sense. Like,
I
the
need
next switch.
More RAM space, Arthur.
More space, more storage. The next thing down is the Spider-Man 2 TV spot, again, from a Brazilian TV show, leaking, showing Peter Parker fighting Venom. I've not seen this yet, but you both have. General thoughts on what it left you with?
It's just another one of those kind of like generic, you know, launch trailer CGI things that you get before like football matches or like general like on TV. You know, it has no gameplay, but it looks pretty. It's well produced. There's some
we
nice
kind
of
noticed the
atmosphere to it.
Yeah, like it does show, because it's showing Peter fighting Venom, there is a runaway fan theory that I very much believe that Peter is Venom at some point in this story. Peter does merge with the symbiote, and I'm still hoping for that.
I'm going to lay my cards out on the table, right, Scott? I think what happens in Marvel Spider-Man 2 is that Harry wakes up. He's been regooped by the symbiote. He's all fine and dandy. Symbiote notices Peter, and he's like, you got some of that spider juice in you. I kind of want a bit of that. So the symbiote goes and attaches himself to Peter. And now Harry's like, well, crap, that's the thing that was kind of keeping me alive. Like, that's kind of a bit awkward. And then Peter's like, oh no, I'm killing you now by having the symbiote. Let's try and figure out a way to cure you. And he just gets more and more stressed out and more like angry and powerful. And he's got all of this stuff with Kraven going along. And then somehow, I think Miles and him will come to blows, and then the symbiote will go back to Harry.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
something bad else will happen to Harry, and that's how you get the classic kind of like, well, obviously not classic, but the traditional Spider-Man and Peter versus a Venom that is not himself.
Because you had
purely random theory.
You had Brian Interhar, I think creative director, definitely someone from Insomniac, saying that it's not going to be Eddie Brock.
No.
Right.
Which is interesting. That would be like the vintage way to go, or the standard way to go, or whatever. Sci, thoughts on where you're at on Spidey?
There's people out there that apparently are campaigning for it to be Eddie Brock, and I'm just like, can't we do something different?
Yeah, do something different.
It's nice that it's something different. I like the different stuff they've done so far. Mm-hmm. And to that end, I actually do hope that there is some kind of swerve in there. Like, they're very obviously setting it up to be Harry, and that's fine. I mean, it's certainly different. But because they've shown me and alluded to it, like, nah, you're not going to do that. I wonder almost if it's going to be Norman or something. It's just going to leap and be like...
It would be interesting because in the Ultimate Comics, Norman's Green Goblin form was like kind of hulky.
Right.
I'm curious to see how they do Goblin because they've already teased the equipment in the previous games. If you go into the room where Miles' spider hitches around an MJ, there's like the pumpkin bombs are there, just not like orange or whatever. They're just kind of purple. And I think you can see the prototype glider suit
as
well.
So, yeah.
So I think they're leaning into man-made Gobbo. I don't think they dropped that bomb here. I don't know.
The Goblin bomb.
I love this mythos that they've crafted. It's like so far and away ahead of where the comics have been for the past like 15, 20 years. Because like none of them have been pushed
forward. That's what I mean. Like in my sort of dream version of it, Norman becomes Venom and then Harry becomes the Goblin or something. Obviously you can do that way, something like that. Like, yeah, that's always fun. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of swerves. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's quite as simple as it seems, and that's fun too. The TV spot looked great. Just another reminder for me to actually get on pre-order the game. I need to
Web wings.
We keep talking about Spidey for a bit because it's such a massive release, and it's one of those things where obviously you mentioned
most anticipated game of the year. Do we think?
For me, it was Starfield, but like there's been so many this year, and obviously RE4 remake and stuff, but definitely for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because it's like Alan Wake 2 and Spidey feel like the next two that have got the most conversation around them. But yeah, with Spidey, I mean, like the whole thing with that we mentioned before with Cal Kestis, I keep saying Cal Kestis, but it's Cameron Monaghan, discussing the idea of a third installment. Like, are we going into Spidey 2 thinking.
Oh, but the Jedi?
No. Are we going into Spidey 2 thinking it's a middle installment? Like, whatever happens in this next one, we're not looking for a level of finality to
it. I think Insomniac get their trilogy here. And then I think maybe what happens after that, they go on to a different long-term project in another studio, maybe do spin-offs or something.
Right, okay.
I do think that... I think the smart play here is to hold off on Green Goblin and have him for the finale and have that be your big kind of trilogy capping moment. And if we're going into subverting expectations as well, obviously the whole thing that drives Harry to become Green Goblin is that he, you know, sees Peter or Spider-Man killing Norman. Mm-hmm. What if the thing that drives Norman to become Green Goblin is that he sees Spider-Man killing Harry or something like that, so you flip it again. I don't know, it's interesting, it's so unpredictable, which is something you can't really say about the superhero genre at the minute, so yeah.
I say why it's worth fleshing out just a little bit, because in terms of like, they have everything to play for, and like, I'm not going to do spoilers for the original Spider-Man, Insomniac Spider-Man, but there is a big swerve at the end of that with the main character who doesn't make it through, and I didn't see that coming at all, and I don't keep up with the comics anymore, so I don't know if that's something that's happened over there as well, but I like that they've established it, and now anything can happen, and it's like, that's kind of fascinating in terms of the amount of different pieces they have to play with, and then obviously them getting out ahead of all the Venom stuff and saying it's not going to be Eddie Brock, it's going to be someone else, and made me think of something we talked about ages ago about like the Predator movie genre. If you just put a Predator in any timeline in any scenario, and it'll make it better. You can put a Predator in anything, it'll be great. You can probably put a symbiote in anything and it'll be great as well.
You should also just have a Spider-Man Predator crossover, bring it back to the 90s again, when the Predator was everything.
That'd be cool. But yeah, we'll find out more in October. The fact that this is leaked, but it is listed as a TV spot, and like Ewan said, it's all CG based and everything. Assuming they'll start doing the rounds a lot more regularly, because the game's out in like 3 and a bit weeks anyway, which is low key insane. But the next news thing down is a Scream game developed by Supermassive Games. This is only a rumor for now. I know. This is only a rumor for now, coming from a Twitter account called The Tipster, who's been read right about a few things over the years, but it's one of those things that
sounds
could
legit.
Sounds legit to me.
The Tipster, man.
There's Insider Games, there's The Tipster, there's loads of them. But in regards to this, I think it's more of a talking point anyway, because we've got Friday the 13th, we've got Texas Chainsaw, you've got the Supermassive Games, obviously, did Until Dawn, which for me was one of the best PlayStation exclusives of the last generation. And if this is true, I'm just taking this more as a talking point, the idea that Supermassive need a win. They've had so many things over the years that didn't win. Hidden Agenda kind of fell apart. They had that really horrible first-person military shooter thing that no one played.
Oh, gosh.
There's loads of stuff that didn't work. They had a one, and I'm blanking, The Quarry from last year or the year before, that was more of a return to form. I couldn't get on board with The Quarry that much, but I remember Josh Brown really liking it. I guess where either of you are on Supermassive in general and the idea of them doing a Scream game.
I'm not really playing any of their stuff, unfortunately.
You play Until Dawn, you'd love it.
I know, it's definitely on the to-do list, sure. Stuff I've seen, it looks really cool. I've actually got a friend who works there, so I feel extra bad. So, I would love a win for them. This seems like a potential slam dunk, but also there is also the concern, as you said, you just listed off a bunch of games that it might well just wind up being like and competing for that same sort of attention. So, yeah, I mean, the problem with that is, of course, we just saw Evil Dead die, unfortunately. True. There is only so much space for these kind of...
It depends whether
I mean, we don't know what it is, right? Yeah. I'm just making an assumption, because you've listed those games, quite right to do that. I'd be interested if it's something completely unexpected, do something really cool and new with a franchise.
They could do, because the Hidden Agenda was a great idea where you tethered all your phones into it, and it was like some people were the detectives and some people were the criminals or whatever. And they, you know, they didn't go all the way with that. And then Among Us did, and like BBC's The Traitors did. And it's like you've got all these sort of the Among Us genre is almost its own thing.
Something like AR with Scream would be really cool, actually. Right. That fits so
I'm
perfectly.
Just thinking you play maybe online, one of you is Ghost. Face, but no one knows.
No, literally, that's like it's the perfect whodunit setup. I mean, I would be just as happy with like a proper like story driven kind of classic traditional supermassive kind of Scream game, because like I think that lends itself so well. Make it its own original story. Don't try and adapt anything, because that would defeat the entire purpose of it. And definitely don't go the isometric multiplayer horror route, because we've got too many of those games at the moment anyway. But yeah, to make it where you could literally have that interactive element, and then someone in the story is like Ghost Face, but no one else knows, and they've got to kind of like figure out a way of doing it. I would love that.
I kind of hope they do like a because I love Until Dawn so much. I think that's legit one of the best PS4 exclusives. Like, it's way up there. It's paced so well. The reveals are great. It's really twisty turny, but it's so satisfying. We're not sponsored by Supermassive whatsoever. I just love that game. But still, that was entirely single player. Like, it's really good to play with a bunch of friends, and you all make the decisions together. But that seemed to be their strength. And the same with The Quarry, even though it has lots of bits where it's telling you, you know, the entire player base chose this and whatever. There are online components to it in terms of the things that it's bringing in. But to do the Scream stuff properly, I don't know if you would need to nail the campaign and then do all that, do a story thing, but then the online mode is ostensibly just Among Us with like way higher budget and with more permutations to how you take people
it's
out.
It's interesting, because it's like I could totally see them doing the fact that Texas Chainsaw Massacre exists and it's literally only got the license to the first movie and they're planning to have a longevity there is ridiculous, but it means that literally anything can happen. Because I was going to say that a Scream isometric horror multiplayer game would be kind of limiting, because you have Ghostface who just uses the same knife. You can have different Ghostface killers and they could maybe have different perks.
Got a gun in the new one.
Different survivors and stuff, but it will ultimately kind of play very similarly. Mm-hmm. Whereas with like this, you can really lean into the coolness and like the 90s vibe.
I would love it if, for the sake of game mechanics, if it was like, say I'm the killer, we're all playing together, we're in the house, we're in some sort of lodge, we're somewhere. If you're the killer, you have to specifically get out of eye shot so you can put the cloak on and then try and take someone out, and then you've got to come up with an alibi, and there's like a trust meter. I don't know, you game for the whole thing.
Yeah. That'd
excuses
be great. For everyone to get away from each other.
Yeah, and you've got to convince them on voice chat as well.
Ghostface is the perfect character for that kind of experience as well, because he gets his ass kicked all the time in the films. The whole thing is that Ghostface is just a dude, and he gets like punched in the face.
Because then you can
like,
still get away and stay as Ghostface.
Yeah. Oh man,
exactly. And then it's like, why is your character model bruised? Oh, I fell downstairs.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason you can legitimately injure yourself.
I know we've
and then you've got debate whether it's a real injury or if someone socked you.
I know, I just like to do my own Matthew Lillard impression. That's not funny, man.
It's a walk culture short. But in regards to this thing, right now it is only a rumor online. We've just made a whole. We've made the best version.
Thank you,
there.
Just the tipster.
Maybe the tipster was me all along.
The Batman villain.
It's hopefully it's something close to that. Final news item, which we'll do a little bit more quickly. Apologies for the shorter podcast today, but we've been filming stuff all day and we still want to do a little podcast in the afternoon. But the final news thing that I've got written down is Hideo Kojima's Xbox game, which got announced in 2021, has just got a quick update from Phil Spencer. Are talking to Japanese website Game Watch, saying that things are progressing very well and he's looking forward to meeting Kojima next week, apparently, with Hideo trying something entirely new with his game, which is interesting. This is a general talking point because there were so many projects that were hovering around Kojima across the last few years. Obviously, there was PT, not like a whole lot of stuff happened with that. There's a bunch of Silent Hill stuff that's happening now. Kojima went to do Death Stranding. He's doing Death Stranding 2. There was an episodic horror game that was going to be on Google Stadia, which completely fell apart. And the assumption is that this Xbox game is that. It's whatever the guts of that thing were. Maybe even conceptually, maybe he had to restart development or whatever. But the thoughts from either of you on what this entirely new thing could be? Because the last time we got that, it was Death Stranding, and it was the Strand genre, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think there is obviously quite a safe assumption that it is horror, because as you just listed, there's a bunch of times where he tried to do something horror and it didn't work out, and it's clearly something that he's passionate about. I don't know, though. I'm kind of tired of talking about it. I want to see him do something else weird and wonderful. I'm not sure if I want a horror thing from him anymore.
No, I mean, it might not be.
I kind of just want a Hideo Kojima game where it's just him in the Criterion closet and he gets to pick all the movies that he wants to watch, and then we watch the movies with Hideo Kojima. On a serious note...
It's a trivia game with him asking you questions about movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When he was in
He'd love that as well.
In that video, he was talking about how he wanted to spotlight specifically Japanese movies, so he picked a lot of those, and like he picked up a few horror films. I think he picked up House as one of them as well. I'd love to see, because obviously we've seen a lot of Kojima's work is heavily influenced by like Western pop culture. Obviously, you know, Escape from New York like looms large over Metal Gear Solid and stuff like that. I'd be curious to see if maybe that video could be an indication. Well, maybe my brain right now is looking at maybe traditional Japanese horror and maybe incorporating that into a video game, because I'd love to see that perspective shine through, because it's always great to see that kind of American pop culture through that like you know, a different lens, because it's always kind of exaggerated and really fun and adventurous. But at the same time, I think it would be nice to see him depart from those influences. You know, don't feel the need to reach for like American actors or whatever. Maybe just do something that is like leading into those movies that he was championing in that video. It's a really cute video. You should all go watch it if you haven't already.
Yeah, do you know what? You've convinced me, actually. Because, like thinking of Silent Hill and the transmission thing from a million years ago now, where they revealed Silent Hill F. That was the thing that everyone popped for the most. Not just because it was, you know, partly because it was a brand new Silent Hill experience. I'm like, oh, we're getting a new entry, a proper entry. But it was such a departure because, like, oh, it looks like it's influenced more by Japanese horror. And it looks like it's set in Japan and stuff like that. That could be interesting. People are interested in that kind of thing right now. Like Japanese horror has always got a lot of intrigue for Western audiences. And he obviously has a massive Western audience, so you could tap into that as well as his love for that kind of cinema. As you say, it'd be really interesting to see him handle some kind of freaky Japanese ghost lore stuff or some nutso kaiju things. Throw that in as well. You know what he's like? It's suddenly shift genre in the middle.
I was going to say,
blend it up.
Whatever he starts with is not what he'll end with.
That's what I mean.
It's always going to go through
a nice,
some
low key ghost story to find a giant demon.
I don't know whether he just needs to, at some point, just make a movie to get out of his system. I know he always says that gaming's like the ultimate medium and whatever else, and he's very filmic. He's brought up watching films every night with his dad and everything. But at the same time, like, so much of Death Stranding was cutscene. A lot of it was gameplay too, but like the end of that game being like a 2-hour movie is like, oh my God. But in terms of the Japanese horror stuff, makes me think of things like Siren Blood Curse, which is like had a really cool mechanic where you could jack between different enemies or different players.
Terrible game though.
I liked it. You're fun.
Terrible voice acting.
True. But I mean, I just had the Japanese audio and stuff, but like, but that still had like quite a unique mechanic in terms of like sight jacking between different characters and then realizing that you were actually jumping into the head of the creature that's about to jump someone and then realizing it's you that's about to be attacked.
Right.
Little things like that were really, really cool. But yeah, the fact that Phil Spencer's saying he's going to catch up next week, hopefully we'll get some more information with then. Hopefully get more information then. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Cy White.
Thank you all.
And joined by Ewan Patterson.
Thank you as well.
Thank all of you for listening, and we'll catch you very soon. Goodbye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.